No turning back, no turning back. Amen. That needs to be something we need to think about. I didn't exactly have it in the sermon here, but I've been anxious to dive into this particular sermon. I got an email from a dear friend who shared this email, and she said, "Have you read this?" And there was an attached link to look at, and I didn't have time to look at that and put it off. And finally, one day, I thought, I better look at that, and I am so excited to have read it. This is from Dr. Soo-Wong Ra, Fuller Theological Seminary, professor of evangelism, believe it or not. Dr. Soo says, "We do not possess the truth, we pursue it. Jesus is the truth. We are pursuers of that truth." Amen? I need to acknowledge that and think about that. Truth exists. Here's what he wrote. He said, "Truth exists. Jesus is the living truth. However, no human owns Jesus, and no human should claim to solely own or possess the entirety of truth. We don't possess the truth. We are pursuers of truth." Think about that a minute. Just let that kind of soak in. We don't own the truth. We are not owners of, we don't possess truth. We are pursuers in search of. Jesus called the disciples, recall, "Come and follow." He didn't say, "Hey, come here and be bosses." It's a difference. There's a huge difference there. And he points out that this may be one of the reasons that the church is changing so radically. Let me read you a portion here. "If Christians in Christ's church were to see themselves not as the possessors of truth, but the pursuers of truth, how would that change us? Would that soften our political positions or our cultural warrior status? Truth pursued requires a humility to acknowledge that God of the Bible, God of history, and the God of truth. Could that humility deconstruct a broken history and construct a way forward?" What a concept, what a change. You know, we get caught up in ideas and mental attitudes of ownership and of authority and of superiority and a lack of openness to others and seeking. I have to confess to you here and now, I don't have all the answers. I went to ILF, I thought, this is going to be fun. I'm going to get all the answers. I'm going to have all my questions figured out. I'm going to get the words straightened out. It's going to be so exciting. And the professors at ILF, they pointedly said they didn't have all the answers. And I just nodded and smiled and thought, they're awfully humble. I didn't really listen to what they were about. It is about humility. And it wasn't about humility, and it isn't about humility. It's about honesty. No honest human is a possessor of the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Paul's epistle, we got it a little, something happened there between the screen and the text and the book and what have you and all of that, but you got the gist of it. There's a huge controversy going on. You remember in Paul's mission to the Gentiles, he's in the middle of Gentiles that are, some are following Jesus, some are following the pagan gods, and there's some devout Jews, and boy, it's just a potpourri of just all kinds of mixes and things. But one of the things going on is that if you happen to be a pagan and you have some temple to some goddess, Asherah, or a temple to Baal, and you want to give an offering to that, you might give a grain offering. ritualistically to gain favor with that particular god, or you might give a meat offering. Well, that food left on those offering places, there's some good meat there, so some people are picking that up and they're cooking it up and selling it and using it. And so there they are, people are consuming this food that has been offered to these pagan gods, and there's a huge controversy. Some of the faithful are saying, you can't eat this. This food is not acceptable. This is pagan food. It's not appropriate. Kind of reminds me of the old story about the woman who was asked the pastor. She says, Pastor, I've been thinking about coming to the potlucks, but she said, I can't bring my favorite dish. It's devil's food cake. Paul is talking about some of those people who are saying, no, you can't eat that food that's been offered up to pagan gods. Now, Paul is all up here a lot. He's figured it out. He's thought it through. And you and I have as well. And we know that food that goes in has nothing to do with changing this. It's not what goes in the mouth. It's what comes out. Remember what Jesus said? So we know and we can logically work through that it wouldn't hurt us. It's not a sin to eat food that has been offered to pagan gods. Logically, we can come down with that logical thought through truth. But he goes on and he said, but if there is one other who is coming to find about Christ, who's learned about Christ, who's coming to the table, some young baby Christian comes, and if my eating meat stops them from their journey of faith, I will never eat meat again. He's not speaking from here anymore. He's speaking from his heart. Didn't you say this, Melissa? Isn't this what it is? Melissa, heart, do it. Come on, show me. Heart. You can't see it, but she's making a heart too. Valentine's heart. Paul's talking from his heart. If his actions, if his word, if what is happening might be a detriment, an impediment to any other person, he will not do so. Certainly it's true, we are no worse off if we do eat and no better off if we do not. It doesn't make any. Food will not bring us closer or keep us from God, he says. But therefore, if food is a cause of their failing, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fail. Knowing may not be faithful. Searching is appropriate here. Searching for what truth is beyond simple knowledge. That's what Paul says. He says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Think about that a minute. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And building up is the goal. Jesus is calling the fishermen. This is a Sunday where we hear him calling James and John, the brothers Simon and Andrew, Did you notice that he didn't call scholars and scribes and educated people? These are fishermen. These are simple folks. These are not the learned and the esteemed, and they are not the high and mighty in the society. They are the common people, the people like us. Church I served previously, I don't want to list any names or decry anyone, but there was a fellow I knew in the community. He and I had kind of become friends, and we'd become friends before he found out I was a pastor, and we stayed friends even when he did find out I was a pastor. Being a pastor is a whole different world. We can get into that another day. But he thought, well, I'm going to come and see what this thing is all about. If he goes there and he's the preacher there, this might be intriguing. So he showed up and he happened to come on a morning that we had a Bible study, a class. And he's sitting in. This is a baby Christian from. And we're sitting in the gathering, and people are sharing different things, and he shared a statement about something. And it was about one of those theological questions. And he just had the question, and he put it out there. Well, some of the people that heard it had been raised in the church, had grown up, had been to Sunday school more days than there were hairs on their head. They knew the answer. It had been drilled into them, and they gasped when he heard the question. Ultimately, he quit and never came back. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. They were possessors of the truth, not searchers. And they failed to see a searcher amongst them and have the humility to say, let's help them along. When my girls were little, we would be driving down the road, and Sarah, she would spot a Dairy Queen a mile away. And I mean, Dairy Queen, my oldest stepdaughter, Corinne, the one we lost to COVID, she had worked at Dairy Queen, and Dairy Queen was the favorite place in the whole world. She could spot those, and I said, Sarah, you have very sharp eyes. Some days later, we were trying to open a bag of potato chips, and I couldn't get it to tear, and I started to reach down for a pair of scissors. She says, Dad, I will cut it open with my sharp eyes. I didn't laugh at her. I grinned and laughed with her, and we smiled. And now we tell that story humorously, but I didn't shame her about it. I wasn't arrogant about it. She was a child learning. I still say she has sharp eyes, and she still laughs every time. And that's okay, isn't it? How many of you were up and dancing? I didn't look during the vacation Bible school piece. I mean, that's supposed to be our aerobic time. I don't think as many of us get as much aerobics as Stephanie and Floyd and some of the others do, but I just don't look around to see. But did you hear the theme of it? I have decided to follow Jesus. It doesn't say, I have decided to be in charge of Jesus. I know everything there is to know about Jesus. I'm an expert and an authority on everything to do with Jesus. I have decided to follow. There's that doggone humility again. We are not good at that in this United States of America. We tend to be about truth and what our truth is compared to what someone else's truth is. Isn't that where we're in conflict? Isn't that where some of these brouhahas are coming up? What's truth and what isn't truth? And by golly, you're going to do it my way, or else we're going to have a Hatfields and McCoys going on. I've strayed a little bit on my topic there, haven't I? But the gospel lesson reminds us that Jesus called amateurs. He didn't call experts. He sought fishermen. Come, follow me. And then he began to teach them things. And over a year or 3 years, depending upon which gospel you read, he did ministry, and he taught them many things, and he told them parables, and he had stories, and there were events that occurred, and he had sayings. And he taught them many, many things, and eventually they began to write them down after his death. Mark wrote down the first gospel that we have in our Bible. And out of those, we share the teaching that points to the truth, which is Jesus Christ. Lord God, save us from our arrogance. Save us from being those who know, and help us find humility to be those who pursue you, who follow you. Amen. Amen.